I'll explain in a minute why we have these chairs here. You will come to that. I think for many of us, Isaiah 53 is a very well-known passage. And I have read it many, many times. I grew up in a Christian family, and I was familiar with this passage. Like in this country, it was often read around Easter, because it is related to Jesus' life and his death on the cross. Today I would like us to focus on verses 3 and 4. And Mick has used a slightly different translation than I had, so I'm going to read the one that I thought he was going to read, and then read a few other translations, because I think that makes these verses a little bit clearer. The NIV that I have says, "He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and familiar with suffering. Like one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he took up our infirmities and carried out our sorrows, yet we considered him stricken by God." The King James says, "He is a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows." A Dutch translation translated into English by myself says, "He was a man of sorrows and acquainted with illness. Despite that, he took our illnesses upon him and carried our sorrows." Another Dutch translation, "He was despised. People felt horrified by him. He was a man who was not spared of any suffering or illness. What he took upon himself were our illnesses and problems. It was our suffering that he had to carry." And just one more, another English translation, the Moffat translation, says, "He was a man of pain, who knew what sickness was, like one from whom men turn with shuddering. He was despised, we took no heed of him, and yet ours was the pain he bore, the sorrow he endured." As I already said, this passage is very familiar to you, to me, and probably to many of you. But one day, quite a few years ago, one thing suddenly struck me. The passage doesn't only say that Jesus came to carry our sins. It also says that he came to carry our burdens, our sorrows, our illnesses, our pain. And that was a revelation to me. I suddenly realized that not only did Jesus carry my sins on the cross, he died on the cross to carry my pain. In his suffering on the cross, he also suffered my pain, your pain, our pain. And I would like us to take a closer look at that today, because past events can still be painful and have an impact on us in our daily lives. Things that have happened to us, people who hurt us. There may be things that happened many years ago. It may be something that happened only last week or even today. It may be something as small as a harsh remark someone made which you find painful. And it could be something as serious or as physical or emotional abuse or traumas you've experienced by bereavement, an accident, a serious illness, a divorce. And I'm sure that you can add your own examples. Like Peter in the story that I told the children, I was bullied quite badly at school. I was 12 at the time. And you probably won't believe it, but as a result, I became quite timid and I lacked self-confidence for years. I was already a Christian at the time, and every day I prayed that the bullying would stop, but nothing changed. And I had no idea how to go about it. I did not know how to apply my faith to that situation. My parents were traditional Christians and could not help me in that respect. Let me add that in the end, they did help me by talking to the school about what was going on, and the bullying stopped. But it was not until I joined a Christian youth choir a few years later, at the age of 14, that things started to change. and I learned to apply Jesus' teaching to me personally. I learned to pray more specifically, and that was the beginning of a long healing process for me. Now, I don't know many of you that well, and I don't know what happened in your lives, but I guess that we all have had painful experiences one way or another. So if we still feel hurt by certain past events and know that Jesus bore our pain on the cross, how do we go about it? What does that mean practically, that Jesus bore our pain? We can find a clue in the verses that Mick read from Matthew 11, where Jesus says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." In other words, he invites us to come to him with our burdens, with our hurts and our pain. I would like to use an example given by Corrie ten Boom, or Corrie ten Boom, as you say in English. And I'm going to move to the chairs for a few minutes. I'm going to use the other mic now to explain Corrie's story, and you may actually know it. I'm going to stand behind the chair to make sure I'm not in the way. This represents clearly the cross and our prayers. Actually, this is my suitcase full of prayers and all my burdens, and oh gosh, they're so heavy. And I come to God with my prayers, and I open my suitcase, and then we tell Jesus all about it. This is my concerns about my children or my grandchildren. This is the problems I'm having with my neighbors who are always so noisy and unfriendly. This is this colleague at work who is always not very kind to me or bullying me. And this is the pain I still have because of the illness I had a couple of years ago. What shall this one be? Yeah, it's a cone. It's maybe my fear for my boss. You can tell. You know, what Corrie ten Boom says in her story is that what we often do is we bring all these things to God and we lay them at the foot of the cross as he invites us. And then at the end of the prayer, we say, "Thank you, Lord, for listening." And we put them all back in the suitcase and off we go again with our sorrows and our worries. Going back to the other mic now, Adam. So in the end, what we do is we take it all with us again, and we are equally burdened after our prayer as before it. But Jesus' invitation is to leave it at the foot of the cross, to let him take care of it. But he can't do that when we take it all back again. And I believe that is what Isaiah means when he says that Jesus bore our pain, our feelings of hurt, our worries. He wants to take care of all these things. Like Peter's mum comforted him and repaired his trousers, Jesus wants to comfort us and give us healing. But like Corrie ten Boom's example shows us, Jesus wants, we have a responsibility too. Jesus invites us to leave our burdens with him. But we have to decide to do it. And that letting go, I think, is the hardest bit. Because we are afraid maybe to lose control. We don't know what's going to happen when we let go. But I think it's one of the secrets of the gospel. In Luke 6, verse 37, Jesus says, and I'm using a Dutch translation again, it says, "Let go and you will be free." We can be free from those burdens when we leave them at the foot of the cross. Now, you may think that's easier said than done. You may think, "Well, Annelies, you don't know what I've been through in life," which is true. And you may be living in a very painful situation right now, at home, at work, within the family. And I'm aware that some of these burdens and pains can go really deep. And I can speak from personal experience. that we may have to leave them at Jesus' feet again and again. My own experience is that these things are often a process. It's not like a one-off prayer and everything is dealt with. Often we have to come back to Jesus over and over again. In my case, my self-confidence grew over the years. And each time I thought I had it all behind me, I discovered something else, another, a deeper layer, or another issue, something else where I realized that I wasn't living the way God wanted me. And the Lord continued working in me. My experience is that it was often helpful to talk about these issues with other people. And of course, sometimes things can have happened to us that actually were so traumatic that we need professional help. And I would like to add, just to go, you know, be very clear, sometimes real traumas can go so deep that they will be never fully healed in this life. Just like physical illness will always be part of our lives unless until Jesus comes back. And sometimes I think things may be even better to be left alone and not to be unearthed at all. I'll say something about that in a minute. My own experience is that if you let him, God will take it a step at a time. He never forces us, and he doesn't give us more than we can face. And I think a very good first step could be to spend time in his presence, like we do at the Time for God sessions. And then maybe the Lord will show you things that he would like you to bring to the cross, things that he would like you to let go. Some of your problems, your worries, your hurts. And if you do that, I believe it will lead to greater inner freedom and a greater ability to become the person Jesus would like you to be. And although God can use us through our problems and weaknesses, at the same time, when we come to a greater inner freedom, he may be able to use us even more. Now, I've used the phrase inner healing a few times so far, which isn't actually something that is used in the Bible. I think another word could be sanctification. I think these two are very closely linked together, because in the end, it is about becoming more Christ-like. Taking our pain and sorrows to the cross doesn't necessarily mean that the situation we're in is going to change. Clearly, the past can't be undone. But even the present situation may not change when we bring the situation to Jesus. The other person involved in that situation may not change how much we would like them to. But I think the main thing that can change when we bring our burdens and our sorrows to the cross is us. We are the ones that change. And perhaps that then will lead to a change in the situation. But the main thing is that our inner attitude changes. Another important aspect of this letting go is forgiveness. And clearly, one could dedicate an entire sermon to that topic, but today, just a few words. If we let go of the hurt other people have caused us, the pain they have done to us, this in fact means that we forgive them. Forgiveness does not mean that we pretend it never happened, or that we say it wasn't as bad as we thought. It doesn't mean minimizing the pain that has been caused, the injustice that was done to us. But it does mean that we no longer hold it against the other person. By forgiving them, we set them free. And the most amazing thing about forgiveness is that in turn it sets us free. If we hold on to anger, feeling upset with others, that can burden us more than the other person. And sometimes we have to start by asking God to make us willing to forgive if we are really upset by something that has happened. But that too is part of bringing our burdens to the cross. Just quickly back to Corrie ten Boom. Talking about God's forgiveness, she quoted a verse from the prophet Micah, where he says that God will, when he forgives us, he throws all our sins in the depths of the sea. You may, again, you may know the story. Corey added, there is a sign up there saying, no fishing. Once we have been forgiven, we don't have to worry about it any longer. Likewise, I would like to suggest that regarding past hurts and burdens, there is a sign, no digging. Perhaps you know exactly what is hindering you, what it is that you may have to deal with, what you find difficult to bring to the foot of the cross and leave it there. You may know exactly what unresolved issues there are in your life. If that's the case, then I suggest you take it to the Lord, perhaps today, perhaps during the next time for God session, when you're praying on your own, and ask him to help you to let go. Ask him for a way forward. And if you feel the need to talk about it with someone, I'm sure that Steve or the deacons would be willing to take time for you, or maybe someone else in the church. And they maybe would like them to pray for you. And again, I'm sure that opportunity will be there. But if there is nothing that comes to mind right away, and you think, well, I'm not quite sure what Annelies is talking about, don't worry. That's where the no digging comes in. Just spend time with God in prayer and ask him if there is anything that is holding you back from a deeper relationship with him. Ask him if there is anything that you need to deal with. And just continue spending time with him. And then he will show you in his time. And as said, maybe you have been through difficulties in life that need to be left alone, that are too painful to look into. But I believe there still can be the healing power of God's love when we just spend time with him. Going back to Isaiah 53, that Jesus also bore our pain on the cross, I think it is important that we learn to face our pain and difficulties. And in a way, it is so amazing that God wants us to be free from that pain. He allows us to take it a step at a time because we can't deal with everything at once. And he invites us to bring these issues to him and leave them at the foot of the cross, to entrust them to him because he knows how to deal with them. As Matthew says, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy burdened, and I will give you rest. Now I would like us to contemplate a little bit on that while we are playing a song. The words will be up on the screen, but I suggest that you just listen, or if you really want to sing along, sing softly. I want to make one more remark before we do that. You may know this song, you may think, gosh, I've heard that very recently, and that's true. A few weeks ago, Phil Moore chose that tune to play before the service. In this month's diary, Hazel has used it in her article, and she used it in Time for God this week. It is Let the Son of God Enfold You. Now, I'm not the kind of person who seeks a spiritual explanation for everything, but I find this quite a coincidence. And I don't know why it is coming up so often, but I can tell you that I didn't know what Hazel was going to write, what Angie was going to do in Time for God. And I don't think they knew that I was planning this. So I think it is an invitation from God to listen to this song, and to ask ourselves, what is it saying to me? Thank you.